Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. The European election votes are almost all counted, but the story that they tell is already clear. The country has brutally punished two main parties, with Labour coming third nationally and the Tories coming fifth, behind the Greens. Nigel Farage's Brexit Party won the elections and took a third of all votes, while the Liberal Democrats had a resurgence and came second. So what do these results mean and what happens next? I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by Katie Bors and Fraser Nelson. So Katie, the biggest story of the night was obviously the Brexit Party's victory. Was it even better for them than expected?
I think there are very high expectations about the Brexit Party. We saw in numerous polls that they were predicted to come out on top. This is a party that's only 6 weeks old. It's Nigel Farage's new outfit. And I think they met those expectations. They got 29 MEPs and around 32% of the vote share. And they are the big winners of the night. In a way, I think a big win for them was priced in. So it isn't one of those shock results, but it does confirm that they are a force to be reckoned with, and also that they are posing a big problem to the Conservative Party. And lots of people are drawing comparisons to UKIP in the last Euro elections, where the party did very well. The Brexit Party has done better. The question is, can they now transfer that on a general election footing? And it's something that Nigel Farage talked to me about when I met him on the campaign trail in Dudley, and I think that's the big challenge for them now.
And Fraser, Nigel Farage certainly has his sights set on a general election. This is what he said to the Today programme this morning.
You are going to have to turn yourself into a full-scale political party.
It's a heck of a job. You know, we've done amazing things in 6 weeks. I'm not pretending that to set up the infrastructure to fight 650 seats, perhaps for an October election, is easy. But you're intending to do it. That work starts this afternoon.
With a full manifesto.
Absolutely.
So is the Brexit Party a real credible force in a general election, Fraser?
Oh, it's certainly credible. I mean, Tory members will know that it's credible because many of them will have voted for the Brexit Party on Thursday. And to go from nothing to 32% of the vote within 6 weeks just does demonstrate how certainly unpredictable things are. It's not that you think that Nigel Farage would definitely come first or even third in a Westminster election, it's just that you can't rule it out. There is no telling what he'll do next. Now, in his interview with Katie in The Current magazine, Nigel Farage did say that the pattern of his political career is doing very well in Euro election results, only to do very badly in the Westminster ones. But what we've seen this time around is that Brexit has now supplanted almost all other issues. The Labour Party wasn't clear on Brexit. As a result, it's been absolutely smashed. The Labour Party has seen its number of MEPs half. It's seen its voting share down at 14%. And Liberal Democrats has seen its number of MEPs go from 1 to 16 and a voting share of 14% because they've got a clear position on Brexit. So what didn't happen at the general election, in other words, the Brexit polarisation, has happened in the European elections. So what this means now is that Nigel Farage has, I guess you can say, he's succeeded in setting the terms of a debate. But after today's results, then I think both Tories and Labour are going to be forced into far clearer positions on Brexit. The Tories' clear position will have to be that we will leave the EU with or without a deal, and their new leader will have to be credible enough to promise that. For the Labour Party, their problem is going to be whether they will endorse a second referendum and campaign for Remain, as some of their leading figures have been saying already.
But Katie, I mean, the received wisdom is that in a general election, the first past the post system means that new parties, minor parties, will find it harder to break through compared to the European Parliament elections. What does Nigel Farage have to do to really break that pattern?
So there are a lot of obstacles for the Brexit Party in a general election, but it's something that Nigel Farage accepts and says that if anyone knows how difficult that voting system is, it's him. I think one of the big things is they would have to come up probably with some manifesto policies which aren't about Brexit. Part of the reason they did so well in the EU elections was they managed to attract voters from the left as well as the right, because it seemed it was a single issue, really. It was about whether or not you thought the Brexit results should have been delivered. And I think that is why they managed to pass that. I think when you look at the results all over, so the fact that Liberal Democrats have done very well, Brexit Party's done very well in certain areas. I mean, the Liberal Democrats did the best in Jeremy Corbyn's seat of Islington. I don't think at a general election anyone really thinks Jeremy Corbyn's about to lose his seat because the Lib Dems did well in the European elections. But it does give this sense that they could eat into the vote share. And I would say Brexit has turned the laws of political gravity or changed them to such an extent it's just impossible to rule out what effects these things will have. I mean, the most obvious thing for the Brexit Party in a general election is that they will drain support from the Tories and perhaps help Labour get through. But I would say that there's lots of Brexit Party politicians who think they are taking support from Labour as well. So I think it's all very much in the air. I do feel, though, speaking to Nigel Farage, and there's a post on Coffee House today about this, he is saying that even if the Tories now say, as Fraser suggests, that they are going to go for a no-deal Brexit and they are led by a Tory Brexiteer, he has no plans to step down or disband his party. And that's because he says he can't trust the Tories. So no matter what the Tories do, I think there is going to be a betrayal narrative on a form of Brexit or no Brexit, or the fact they're not doing no deal right. So that's a new element they're going to have to contend with in a general election. And just with regards to the upcoming Tory leadership contest, I think the Brexit Party's success in the European elections is going to have a big impact on that. And each candidate is going to have to explain how they plan to get Brexit Party voters to the Tories. And that's going to be very hard, probably, for candidates like Rory Stewart, perhaps Matt Hancock, Jeremy Hunt. I think it would be easier for Brexiteer candidates like Boris Johnson or Dominic Raab to answer that question.
And Fraser, speaking of the Conservative Party, obviously everyone expected them to do badly, but they've actually come fifth nationally behind the Green Party. Did you expect quite so bad a result?
Oh yes, I mean, I expected them to be completely crucified, and indeed they have been. I mean, fifth place was being spoken about. There is no way around this. This is a catastrophic result for the Conservatives, and that is why their leadership contest is now being fought against the background not of a problem, but of an existential crisis. Now, Theresa May, having resigned a few days ago, does take the edge off this for the Conservatives, because they don't have to work out, oh, this is terrible, what do we do now? They know what we're going to do now. They're going to try to refresh and recast. But still, the problem is that I was looking at the Scottish results where, I mean, you can see the SNP are doing pretty well, but they did well in 2014. Now, when people vote for a new party in Euro results or in a referendum results, quite often they don't come back. That certainly was a Scottish experience, where people went for the SNP during the referendum and stayed with the SNP for the Westminster election. So the Tories are now facing the prospect of it's going to be very hard to win voters back from Nigel Farage's Brexit Party, especially if he's going to keep that party going, no matter what is in the next Tory manifesto. You can now, the Tories might console themselves saying, well, we didn't really fight these elections very hard, and it's true that they didn't, that we had a pretty useless leader, that's true, they did. But when you look at the Conservative apparatus, it is decaying. A party needs activists to win elections, and the Conservatives are almost flat out of enthusiastic activists. Now, that problem will not go away quickly, no matter who the new leader is.
And Katie, you're on your way back from Scotland. What is the atmosphere like in Scotland, and what were the results like there? Labour did quite badly there as well, didn't they?
Yeah, Scottish Labour have had a really bad night in Scotland. You have a situation where the SNP came on top and the Brexit Party were, as predicted, in second place. The Scottish Conservatives haven't done particularly well, but I think the real horror show is for Scottish Labour, which is draining support. And if you look, that does reflect how Labour is doing across the country, really, which is they are being squeezed as well illustrated in this week's Spectator cover, in the sense that in heavy Remain areas like Islington, like Kensington, you know, London, they are losing support to the Liberal Democrats. But in the north, they're having a situation where they are falling behind in areas where they're supposed to be holding seats in a general election. So I think that is putting pressure on them. And you're seeing that from the fact that John McDonnell, the Shadow Chancellor, has today taken to social media and suggested quite strongly that he now thinks the party should support a second referendum.
And yes, Fraser, what is Jeremy Corbyn going to do next? The Labour Party seems pretty split on this issue, and even more so after last night. Emily Thornberry was pretty harsh when she was passing judgment on Labour's Brexit policy.
I think that the point is that we went into an election where the most important issue was what was our view on leaving the European Union. And we were not clear about it. We were not clear on the one single thing that people wanted to hear. And that wasn't their fault. And we sent people out to campaign on that. And unfortunately, we just weren't clear enough.
Where would the clarity have been needed most?
We should have said, quite simply, that any deal that comes out of this government should be put to a confirmatory referendum and that Remain should be on the ballot paper and that Labour would campaign to Remain. And that's what we should have done.
So what's Jeremy Corbyn going to do next?
Yes, Emily Formbury is being unequivocal there. And also John McDonnell this morning is tweeting that it's now time for a public vote. Although that formula might mean a general election. Jeremy Corbyn's position is to talk about how we need another vote, general election or second referendum. That's been his holding position. And I have to say that I can see why he is reticent to go down the Remain road, because look at the northeast of England, where Labour did so badly in its heartlands, losing to the Brexit Party. I mean, Labour took several Brexit-inflicted wounds. Now, unless it wants to basically write off the northern voters who voted Labour and voted Leave, it's pretty difficult for Labour to now take the unequivocal position supporting Remain that Emily Thornby would like. So Labour is now facing not just a Brexit or Remain division, but a North or South choice. I can see why any leader of the Labour Party would not want to make that choice. But I can also see why so many Labour MPs think that time is running out for them to play both sides. But let's not forget, for both Labour and the Tories, there is the hope that this might be resolved before the next general election, that Britain might have left the EU. Because the one big takeaway from this, for me anyway, is thinking as we game plan the next few weeks and months, we think, okay, a new Tory leader will come along and try to leave the EU with or without a deal. Would Parliament try to stop no deal? Would Parliament force a general election? Now, Jeremy Corbyn does not want to go to the polls as a Remain party, because he would get such a hammering in the north. And the Tories certainly don't want to go to the polls before Brexit due to a hammering from the Brexit Party. So right now we've got both Labour and the Tories with very good reason not to want a second election, and in many ways to fear a second election a lot more than they fear a no-deal Brexit. So the chances, I think, of Parliament blocking a no-deal Brexit by means of bringing down the government have receded significantly today because of the EU election results and what reason they give both main parties to fear what might happen if they go to the polls before Brexit.
And Katie, given this was pretty much a one-issue election and proxy Brexit referendum, lots of people this morning have been tallying up the votes on the Leave and the Remain side. Lots of different numbers floating about here. Do you think this sort of adding up exercise can really tell us anything accurate about what the country thinks about Brexit?
I think if you take the European election vote as a proxy second referendum, then you have a situation where actually it seems as though the country is still pretty divided on the issue. You saw the Brexit Party do very well, but if you add up the pro-Remain parties, as lots of people on Twitter are very keen to point out, then Remain also had a very good showing. I mean, I think it's hard to read too much. I know that's not quite the point of a podcast like this from these results, but there is one story from it which I think it can be objectively agreed as a party that's had a very bad night outside of Labour, and that's Change UK. We had when Chukwuma Minna and his colleagues quit the Labour Party to start a new party, formerly known as the Independent Group. There was a hope from their side that this would be this new force in politics, this new centre force that lots of voters would flock to because they were sick of the Lib Dems, didn't trust them, they were tired of the Tories, and they didn't like Jeremy Corbyn. In fact, that hasn't happened at all. I mean, I think Change UK has failed to get a single MEP, and it has got several hundred thousand votes, but it hasn't materialised, and instead you're seeing the Lib Dems have this resurgence. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if this really is the death of Change UK and you start to see those MPs either stand as independents or think about having some form of coalition with the Liberal Democrats. But let's remember, this is a party that before the EU elections ruled out a pact with the Lib Dems because they thought the Liberal Democrats would bring them down, and I think they've been proved wrong and a little bit naive.
I mean, mean, Fraser, they must be kicking themselves now. I heard Chuck O'Mahony on the radio the other day saying that they should have a Remain alliance, which is what they rejected from Vince Cable, as Katie said, a while ago.
Yes, and also he might be kicking himself for not just simply joining the Liberal Democrats. At the time, the Lib Dems were just written off as thinking, well, this party is now dead. It failed to revive in the 2017 elections. Vince Cable himself had resigned. So it did look as if the Lib Dem bird was not flapping its wings anymore. But now look at that bird. It's a phoenix. It is coming first in London. It's coming first in Jeremy Corbyn's constituency of Islington. And you're getting now the leader of the ex-leader of Labour in Wales saying what a shame it is that Labour hasn't just aligned all the Remain parties. But I'm afraid to say Chuka Amuna does not find himself in any negotiating position. He is now positioned in the flotsam and jetsam of the EU elections. Change UK could have been something if it had a greater constituency and better organisation, but as it's turned out, the Lib Dem party is the party of Remain. That is the other big upshot of this Euro elections. I can't really see a gap in the market for Change UK other than something which will fracture the Lib Dem vote. So I think a merger between those MPs and the Lib Dems could be on the cards next.
Yeah, Fraser. And I suppose that's also another party that does not want a general election anytime soon. Fraser and Katie, thanks very much. Thanks for listening, and do join us again tomorrow.